Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of LifePoint Church. For more information, visit our website on www.davidhall.com.au.
If you have a Bible, I want to just talk on the subject tonight, the power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit's been leading me. If you have a Bible, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, or as you would say, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 10. Somebody say Isaiah. Yeah, see, that's beautiful. That's the Queen's English right there. Isaiah chapter 10. I want to just have a look at one verse here, and then I want to preach into this a little more. And it's a passage that you all know. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says this. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck." He says this, I love this, and the yoke. Somebody say the yoke. "The yoke will be destroyed." Somebody say destroyed. "Because of the anointing oil." The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Judah in that time was probably in one of the more difficult times that they had ever had. They always went through their times and seasons of being seasons of blessing and then annoying God, and he had to kill a bunch of them, which is similar to probably how the church runs these days. But they're in a season of despair. They're in a season of loss. They're in a season of being really, in a lot of ways, totally disconnected from the things of God. And they'd come into a place where they were yoked with all kinds of bondage. Now, the word yoke is a funny word, because I guess we don't use it too much. The word yoke is not mentioned too many times in the word, but what the yoke was a bracket that would connect two animals together, say two head of oxen together, as they plow the field. And if you were yoked to a slower oxen, the faster and the stronger oxen would end up either being slowed down by the lowest common denominator or totally frustrated. And so the Bible's saying here that the people of Israel had been yoked to all kinds of problems, whether it was, I guess, in a modern day context, financial trouble, or yoked to family trouble, or yoked to addiction, or yoked to habit, or whatever the case may be. Whatever what was yoking them, the word of God came through Isaiah, and he says that yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Often we think of the anointing as just presence, but the anointing is the most powerful force outside of the Godhead himself. The anointing isn't God. The anointing is the equipment God gives us. It's the power God gives us to do the things God's called us to do. There is no more force on this planet more powerful than the anointing of God. It can heal sick bodies. It can transform broken spirits. It can bring the power. It's the power of God released into an atmosphere that touches your heart and touches your life. When the anointing of God is active in your spiritual life begins to be alive with the power and the presence of God like never before. And he says that yoke will be destroyed. Whether it's a yoke of sickness, whether it's a yoke of bondage, whether it's a yoke of regret or disappointment, he says that yoke, that thing that you're connected to, will be destroyed. You know, the word destroyed, people often quote the scripture and they say the yoke will be broken, but the word broken doesn't really sufficiently say what's happening, because something that's broken can be fixed. If you get a broken leg, you can fix the broken leg. I remember when my wife's cat died, we had to take it to the vet to get it destroyed. Now, there's no coming back from that. Well, maybe you can do it 8 more times, I don't really know, but he says the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And I'm a local church pastor, and I can tell you it's so tempting sometimes when people come to you with a whole lot of troubles and a whole lot of worries and a whole lot of things on their mind. It's so easy for us to refer them, go see this guy or go see that guy. And I think in church we we've gotten pretty good at just being a referral agency for problems. And I don't know about you, but I believe there's coming a day where sitting down and spending money in this place and that place isn't going to cut it. We've got to get back to the power of the anointing of God that transforms and sets free and delivers. Often we name the name of Jesus but live with our trouble rather than letting the anointing of God do what it can do. The anointing will touch you. The anointing will change you, but the anointing can set you free. Is anyone alive in the house of God tonight? And when that anointing from heaven gets upon your life, you start to experience breakthroughs like never before. That you can't even understand what God wants to do. The anointing of God is powerful. And I feel like God's been saying to me, Dave, you don't preach on the anointing enough. The anointing just works. I mean, it's amazing. You can have all the talent on this platform that you've got, but it's not the talent that is for lack of better words, magical ingredient that's bringing you to a place of faith and presence of God. It's the fact that these guys are anointed by God. It's not good oratory every Sunday that is seeing lost people saved and people delivered and set free. Sure, it's great preaching, but it's not the well-spokenness or even the good ideas. It's the anointing of God that does the job. The anointing is God coming upon human flesh, anointing them to do that which only God can do. And I don't know about you, I want to be a preacher who's anointed. I want to be a pastor who's anointed. I want to be a Christian, even more than all of those things, a Christian. I want to be a Christian who's anointed by God. So when I go about my daily life, I carry something. I carry something that can destroy bondages and destroy problems. And I don't want to be just a Christian that looks spiritual. I want to carry the power of God in my heart and in my life. If you believe it, someone say amen. I want to talk about this. Let's have a. You all know the scripture. I'll quote it, but let's turn to Luke chapter 4. But I'll just mention the book of Acts 10:38. We know the scripture very well. It simply says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I've said it so many times before, but if Jesus needed the anointing to do the things he did, how much more do you and I need the anointing? I mean, Jesus, there was a moment where the anointing came upon his life and his ministry went from natural to supernatural. Do you know, he spent 30 years preparing to be in the ministry and didn't do one miracle until he was 30 years of age. You know, he was God the Son when he was 2. He was God the Son when he was 10. He was God the Son when he was 15, 17, 21, 25, even 29. But being God the Son wasn't what brought the supernatural into his ministry. It was the anointing of God coming upon him. And when the anointing of God came upon him, he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he says in Luke 4, and you all know this, verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus quoting Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed." Somebody say anointed. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus carried the anointing. Can you imagine what it was like being Jesus? You're on your way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, and then someone stops you and you get healed of an issue of blood. Jesus could not have gone anywhere. Everywhere he went, people were following him. There was a multitude. He'd be just taking a shower and he'd hear a knock on the, I don't know, maybe something like that. He's just having some alone time. "I need to be healed of this." And so some blind guy gets healed. Why do you think Jesus went around saying, "Don't tell anybody"? He just needed a break. But let me tell you, if you tell a blind guy, Jesus should have known this, and I'm sure he did. But if you heal a blind guy that's been blind since birth, and you set him free and he gets back his sight, good luck getting him to try and keep that a secret. Good luck. I reckon he would be able to keep that secret for about 2 seconds. He would have been sitting there with his grin. "I'm sitting on a gold mine," but he's trying to keep it quiet, and boom, what happened? "I met Jesus, and I can see." Why? Because the anointing of God touched him. So I reckon Jesus walked on water just to get away from people. And so then when Peter walks on water, he's totally interrupting what Jesus did. I heard a story about a pastor who people would ring the church on his day off every day. "I need to speak to the pastor." "What's he doing?" "Oh, he's just having a rest. He's just taking a break. Well, it's urgent. I need to speak to him. And so people just interrupt him. And so one day the pastor decides, I'm going to go and buy a boat. And he buys a boat and he calls the boat Visitation. And so when people rang the church saying, I need to speak to the pastor. Well, he's not in. Where is he? Oh, he's out on Visitation. And then he says the assistant pastor thought the idea was so great. He got himself a boat as well. And he called it Visitation 2. And so then when they ring up the church, where's the pastor? Well, he's out on Visitation. What about the associate pastor? He's out on Visitation too. But Jesus carried the anointing. And everywhere he went, the anointing was upon him, but it was contained really by and large to him. That's why Jesus said, greater works shall you do. It doesn't mean we're going to do better things than Jesus did. It doesn't mean we're going to necessarily walk on water. I'm not trying to bring your faith down. I believe anything Jesus did, we can do. But when he says greater things you shall do, what he's saying is the anointing that's on me is going to get on this thing called the church. And so if Jesus was in Galilee, Jesus was in Galilee. The omnipresence of God, he had laid that aside when he'd come to earth. And so where he was, there he was. And so when the anointing of God came upon us on the day of Pentecost, the same power that was on Jesus is now multiplied and now able to transform the world in a moment of time. That's why in one day, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people are added to the kingdom of God and the church is birthed, because suddenly, exponentially, this anointing just isn't just locked up in Jesus anymore. It's now released upon any person to say, Holy Spirit, I want your power, Holy Spirit. I want your presence, Holy Spirit. I want your grace to work in my life. And so I want to talk about the anointing a little bit tonight. The anointing, there's so many different statements people use concerning the anointing. They'll say, I sense the anointing, or that person's anointed, or there's a real anointing on this, or we're going to anoint you with oil. And although they can sound largely different, the word anointing means to be set apart, and often we use that statement, the anointing, because there's just something about a moment, there's something about a person's life, there's something about what God's doing in an atmosphere. When we say the anointing, it means often, and I'm not saying every time, but often what we're trying to say is there is something unusually supernatural about this moment. And I believe with all of my heart that the anointing is something that can become totally normal, to a point where miracles become normal in our life, and where we prayed for people and they've been healed and we were a bit shocked because we prayed for them. We never actually thought God would do it. I mean, that's a whole different thing. I believe there's coming a day where we'll be shocked when things don't start happening for the glory of God. I'm believing God that our church in Adelaide is going to be a church where miracles become the normal, and they're not an unusual every now and then. I'm sick of cancer. I'm sick of asthma. I'm sick of diseases coming against the people of God. I've done too many funerals in the last 12 months. I don't want to do any more funerals. I want to see people healed by the power of God. I want to see lives changed. And all of this power to do what God's called us to do is wrapped up in us coming into contact with the anointing of God. It'll set you free, but the anointing will empower you to do the supernatural. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is that anointing coming upon your life and filling you and changing you in order to do the things God has called you to do in the name of Jesus. The anointing is the manifest power of God. Although God is everywhere, he's not always manifest. He'll be on Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras this weekend. I don't know if his presence will be manifest. I hope it is. The point that I'm trying to make is, although creation displays his glory, if we look at the story of Jesus turning water into wine, he does a miracle, a supernatural miracle. The Bible says in the book of John, this was the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory. What is the manifestation of God? It's when the supernatural starts happening in the world around about us. It's healings. It's special anointings. It's unusual miracles, the book of Acts talks about. It's the infilling of the Spirit. It's salvations. It's lives being changed by the power of God. What's the anointing? It's the supernatural realm getting into our life, coming upon us, and us seeing God do the things God's called us to do. We can't do this thing called Christianity without the anointing of God. Does anyone believe what I'm saying or not? I believe this stuff because I can tell you, I've grown up in church all my life, and there is a big difference between anointed and not anointed. Some things people think are anointed just annoying, you know. But when it's anointed, you can sense God on it. You can sense the liberty and the freedom of Jesus, and God begins to do something. You know, the process of making olives. I know a little while ago I spoke on the process of making pickles. But tonight, that was a bit funny. This is a bit more serious. There is a process, the way they press olives. When olives are crushed to get oil, it's quite a fascinating process. You know, the word Gethsemane means oil press. Jesus was crushed. He was beaten and he was crushed so that which was in him would be given, which was the oil of heaven. It was the Holy Ghost given to us. Now, I want to have a look at this for a minute because this is a process that happens. The process of making olives. The olive has to stay on the branch until it's ready to be pressed in order for the oil to come forth. But I have always believed that the greatest source of being touched by the presence of God is being connected to the vine. It's being connected to the house. It's being connected to church. Because I believe there's a lot that God can do when you're by yourself, but there's supernatural things that only happen when we get together. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it doesn't say when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all at home watching TBN individually in their own houses. He says, they're all together in one accord. There's something about being together. And the word together in one accord is the same words. Dwell together in unity, same words. And it talks about oil being poured down. There is something about getting together and being connected to the vine and God doing something in a church. You know, I believe there's a lot of sicknesses that get healed in meetings that people don't even realize they have because they've just come and been refreshed in the house of God. And there's just a bit of adjusting that happens in our lives. And God, you know, those things that just maybe come Tuesday, you've gone a bit feral, you know, you get here on a Wednesday night, God just gets you back. God gets you back. See, there's something about being in the house of God. The process of crushing an olive to bring forth oil starts with being connected to the vine. Then there's the process of getting the olives off the tree. And I just imagine they just pick the olives nicely, the farmer. But that's not how they got these olives off the tree to get oil. They would get a stick and beat the tree. They would beat the tree. Some of us want the anointing, but we don't like it when it costs us something. Sometimes the anointing, sometimes you feel like you're getting beaten with a stick. You go to this church, I'm not saying you get beaten here, it's when you're not here. Here is love, it's beautiful, come as you are, but the enemy comes again, beats you with a stick. All I want to tell you is the anointing, to carry the anointing or to release the anointing, sometimes it's uncomfortable. And if that's not enough, then you get stuck in a basket with all the other olives. You get very close proximity to a lot of other people. When you're serving God, you might lose your space, you might lose your comfort, you might lose your stuff. But I can tell you, God will force you, even in tough days where you feel like you are crushed, where you feel like the enemy's coming against you, you feel like things are going wrong. Maybe, just maybe, even in those dark seasons, God's forging something in your life that's going to bring forth oil from heaven, that's going to do something supernatural in your heart and in your life. If you believe it, can you say amen? And then this is where it gets really intense. The olives get placed in an olive press where there is a massive wooden wheel or millstone wheel, and the olives are pressed four times. Each time they were pressed were for different purposes. Each time they were pressed, in Jewish times, they would use each round of oil for different practical purposes. The first time oil was pressed, the oil was used to light the menorah in the temple, and it was also used for anointing oil for ministering to people. The second time it was pressed, it was oil for lamps in people's homes. The third time it was pressed, they would use that oil for cooking. And the fourth time it was pressed, it was for medical purposes and soap. And so if you want to bring this into today and what the oil of God does today, what the anointing of God does today, the anointing of God talking about light and talking about oil being laid hands on people, ministry to people, the anointing talks about the power and the presence of God. The anointing talks about vision, being able to see, being able to hear from God, the call of God on your life, the call to do something, and God's empowering to do that. And oil for for cooking, talks about provision. I tell you, when you're connected with the anointing of God, there is blessing that will come and pour into your life from the oil of heaven. Another thing the anointing does, talks about medicine and cleansing. The anointing brings healing. The anointing heals people. The anointing touches and transforms people's lives by the power of God. Last time I was here was in July, and it was on a Wednesday night. Pastor Frank and Pastor Paris were out of town and spoke here. I'm sure a lot of you were in the service, and the night before I'd preached it over in Pensacola at Brownsville Assembly of God, and we'd driven here. It was about a 4-hour drive, and I can't remember if I even mentioned it, but I can tell you the story in its totality now. I was preaching, and probably their church building would be, it's a big building. It's probably not quite as big as this building, but it gives you an idea. It's a similar kind of room, and so as I'm preaching, I felt God speak to me to call out a girl that was kind of over in that section. So she comes forward, and I notice she's got an eye patch on her eye. And so she comes forward for prayer. And I was pretty excited because I thought I'd never prayed for a pirate before. I was heaps excited. And so I said to her, "What do you need prayer for?" "Scurvy." I believe the guy kept, that's funny, but that's still. Anyway. So I said, "Lift your arms to the Lord." And so... So anyway, I said to her, "What's wrong with your eye?" And she said, "I've got cancer in my tear duct." She would have been 14. Cancer in the tear duct. And it's putting pressure on her eye, and she couldn't see because of the pressure. Not her eye wasn't damaged, but because of the pressure in her eye, it was pushing everything together. So she couldn't see. And I said, "Let me pray for you." And so we prayed, and I said, "Everyone, let's all pray together." And so everyone stood up praying in the Holy Ghost. Anyway, she takes the eye patch off, and they're messaging me saying, "Oh, there's been a healing. But I didn't want to get too excited about it because sometimes, you know, I don't want to make big declarations over social media or different things unless I know. And so I was rejoicing that she could see, praise God. But anyway, I get a message from one of the staff at the church maybe a month or so ago, and she said to me, she said, "We want to let you know that young lady went and had an MRI, and the doctors have said she is cancer-free by the hand of God." In God, why? I'll tell you why. Because the anointing destroys bondages. The anointing changes things. There's nothing like the power of God to touch hearts and touch lives. I had a girl come up to me in a meeting in New Zealand. I was preaching for Pastor Brent just a little while ago. And she comes up to the meeting. She says, "Will you pray for me?" And I was leaving and I was ready to go home. So I said, "Sure." I prayed for her. It was kind of like a brotherly kind of pastoral. "In the name of Jesus, God bless you." And I went to walk home, walk off. And she goes, "Was that it?" I said, "What do you mean, was that it?" She said, "Was that it?" I was like, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I've got depression. I've got fear, I've got issues at home, I've got issues with my family sick." And she went through this list. She goes, "Was that it?" I said, "No. It was a practice. We're practicing. It's warming up. Just sometimes you go warm up." So we prayed again. So I prayed properly. I said, "Father, touch her. In the name of Jesus, be made whole by the power of God." And boom, she hits the floor. So I walked off. "Come, was that it? Give me a break." But I want to say this. I get in the car and the Spirit of God speaks to me and he says, "David, don't build the kind of church in Adelaide where people walk in broken and have needs and then walk out going, 'Was that it?' The church is meant to be the hope of the world, but we will never see people delivered and set free unless we make room for the anointing of God to come and do only that which it can do, which is touch hearts and touch lives." Man, this is quite exciting. The anointing will touch. The anointing's tangible. You can touch it. You can feel it. "Well, I just know God by his word." I know him by his word. I love his word. I love the word of God. But you know, I don't only know him through the pages of the Bible. And my knowledge of him is still governed by the pages of the Bible. But I know him because he's touched my life. I feel his presence. I sense that touch of God. I feel the anointing of God flood my soul and flood my heart. And even just Sunday morning, I was preaching in church and I felt like it was hard going. And there was just a moment where I sensed the abiding presence of God. fill the room. People start getting saved. People start getting changed. The anointing is that unseen, mysterious thing that when it's there, things happen. When the anointing of God is in your marriage, you'll have a good marriage. When the anointing of God is in your family, you'll have a good home. When the anointing of God is on your ministry, you'll have a good ministry. The anointing of God makes us so much better than we would be without it. I know I said this a couple of years ago, but I want to say it again. I don't mind having a feed of potatoes every now and then. But give me that potato. Let me dip it in some fat and fry it in some fat and just let the fat get all on it. The potatoes taste so much better after it's dipped in oil, because when you've been dipped in oil, it releases flavor. And when you're dipped in oil, who you are is mixed with the flavor of God. And people's lives are impacted far more than they would be if you're just an old stuffy potato. I want to be dipped, man. I don't want to just be a potato. I want to be a Holy Ghost filled freedom fries, blessed, dipped in ranch sauce with some bacon and some cheese and Buffalo Wild Wings. Kura pakata. I was at an End Times conference. Pastor Frank, I'm not one to give a senior man of God advice, but I've got one bit of advice. Never go to an End Times conference. You want the end of time to come immediately. You think tribulation's bad. Try the End Times conference. So I was at this End Times conference, and this preacher, who if I named his name, you'd all know who he was. So this preacher is talking about how the government inject hormones into these chickens to make them grow quick, but to also give us diseases to make us dependent on. So all these people are sitting in the meeting, and they're like, it's a conspiracy. It's terrible. They're all upset. I forgot to have breakfast, so I'm just hungry. And the longer this message, 90 minutes, the longer this message goes, my mouth's watering. Or I can smell the chicken. I just want to eat these hormones. I want to eat the chicken. I left that meeting, Pastor Frank. Everyone else is travailing for revival in America. Not me. I went to KFC and got a bucket of chicken. And I can tell you right now, I ate it to the glory of God, because some things taste better when they're fried. Some things taste better when they've been dipped. And I know Pastor Paris would reject everything I'm saying, but I've seen the stuff that she eats. It's nowhere near as exciting as what I eat. She'll die skinny, I'll die fat. They're going to the same place. Glory be to Jesus. I come under heavy conviction hanging around with them. I feel like I have to lie about what I feel like eating. Are you hungry? No, not really. What are you going to have? Oh, just a salad. I eat the salad, talk for a while. When they go, I go somewhere else and have lunch. I'm teasing. I've been very well fed here. Pastor Frank introduced me to biscuits and gravy, and it changed my life. It also shortened my life, but I got a car, like all of you have got a car, and my engine in my car has cogs that work together. They work together when there's oil in the engine. When there's no oil in the engine, the cogs become hostile to each other. Can I just say, when the anointing of God is present, we do better together. We walk better together. We love one another better. We fellowship better together. And I don't know about you, I want to be dipped. I want the anointing of God in, around, and about me, in my heart and in my life. If you light a wick that goes into a lantern, it'll burn 100 times faster if it hasn't been dipped in oil. The anointing gives us a long race. I'm only 35, so I'm still early on in my race. But why does this church stay standing after you get beaten by Katrina and everything that could come against the church has come against the church, but this thing's still strong. This thing's still going forward. Why? Because of the anointing. The anointing renews, it refreshes, it empowers, it changes things. And I don't know about you, but I want the anointing of God in my world. I want the anointing of God to... I really do believe it. I traveled 43 cities in 2015, as well as pastoring our church back home. And And I can say without any doubt in my mind that I believe that the church is coming back to a hunger after the anointing like I've never seen before. I believe with all of my heart that there is a shift where maybe people have pulled away from the supernatural. There's a leaning back in to the presence of God. And I thank God for houses like this that have always been resolute and have said, you know what, as for us, we're not going to be moved. We're going to go after the anointing of God. The world's gone crazy. Days are evil. And as Paul says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Be refilled with the Spirit. Be refreshed. What is that? It's just getting under the anointing of God. The anointing is something you can feel, something you can touch. It's tangible. It's a real thing. And in this room tonight, I sense the anointing of God. Maybe just where you're sitting, why don't we just lift our hands to God? Just let His anointing come on you for just a little minute. Just let the touch of heaven just come. And just fill. Just minister. Kesha Brasta. Father, we thank you for the power of God. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of heaven. Lord, we thank you that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It destroys bondages. And Father, in this house right now, let the power of heaven just come. The presence of heaven, come. The touch of God, touch every hungry heart in this place in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we are hungry. Lord God, we are thirsty. Lord, we're expectant. Father, fill the house.